Now joining us on the telephone for further analysis is John Boniface. John Boniface is a constitutional attorney, co-founder and president of Free Speech for People, and author of the book, The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump. John Boniface, I thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, and I'm the co-author with Ben Clements and Ron Fine of that book.
Appreciate the clarification. You have also been calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump now for some time. Here we are in a Senate trial. What is your sense on how the Democrat House floor managers are doing?
Well, I think the House managers are making a very powerful case as to why this president must be held accountable via the impeachment process and must be removed from office. But I also think what we saw happen yesterday in the successive votes on all the amendments that the minority leader, Senator Schumer, introduced to try to ensure that witnesses would be called, to try to ensure that documents would be demanded, to prevent this cover-up that the White House is trying to orchestrate through this impeachment trial, with those votes all going along party lines and the Republican senators preventing any calling of witnesses at this time or demanding of documents, I think it's still very much unclear whether we are going to have a real trial or whether this is going to be a kangaroo court and a sham trial. If the Republican senators in control of the Senate choose to be complicit with the criminal enterprise operating out of the Oval Office, they too will go down in history for having done this disgrace to our Constitution and to our democracy. So I think we're in a very dangerous moment where we're seeing the case being laid out by the House managers to the Senate, to the American people, but at the same time, we're dealing with the possibility this will be a sham trial.
What do you think is dangerous?
What's dangerous is that we will not have the Constitution be respected or upheld. The Constitution requires that the Senate holds a trial. A trial consists of calling witnesses, demanding documents. It doesn't consist of opening arguments and then that's it. That's not what a trial is. So it's great that we're having the opening arguments, but knowing how those votes occurred yesterday, they may be a precursor for what is lined up after these opening arguments, which is to strike down any motion for witnesses and any motion for documents. I hope certainly that there are at least four members on the Republican side who break with the Republican Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, and agree to call witnesses and have a real trial here. But if they don't, I think that danger is that we are effectively saying that the impeachment clause no longer has any effect in the Constitution, that the president can operate above the law, as a monarch, and not be held accountable. And that, I think, is a real threat to our republic.
Speaking about what happened last night and the number of amendments that were taken up during the trial that were brought by Chuck Schumer, there was one in particular that I thought was very telling. And this was an amendment that basically the Democrats were saying, okay, look, clearly we're fighting between us and you, the Republicans, about whether or not we should have witnesses and what witnesses are going to show up. So why don't we just hand over the decision to a neutral arbiter, that being Chief Justice John Roberts, who is presiding over the Senate. And if John Roberts makes a decision, if we call for witnesses and he agrees for it and you all don't like it, then you'll still have the power to have a vote and reverse his decision. And of course, that went down on party lines.
Yes, and I think you're right. It was very telling, that vote. But I think it's also important to place some scrutiny on the way Chief Justice John Roberts is presiding over this Senate trial. He chose in the middle of the night, as you may know, to admonish both sides on equal terms for language that was used that he viewed as not following the decorum of the Senate. And that language had been that House Manager and Congressman Jerry Nadler had said that the White House counsel and the lawyers for Donald Trump were engaged in lying to the Senate and to the American people by saying that no Republicans were allowed to participate in the depositions that took place leading up to the House impeachment hearings, which was an outright falsehood. Somehow the word lie got the Chief Justice's attention, and he chose to make that admonishment. So let's accept that he decided he was going to do more than simply read out the votes and preside there, but he was actually going to exercise his power that he has there to issue that admonishment. Why then, as we recognize, based on all news reports, that many Republican senators are not there in the Senate during some of this presentation, somewhere of 19 to 20 senators are not present for a long period of time. They're not just taking a short break. They're literally not there. Why is the Chief Justice not calling them out on that? Because they are required under the Senate rules and under the Constitution to be there the entire time. And the fact that the Chief Justice is choosing not to highlight their violation of those rules in the middle of this Senate trial, I think, is a critical point to also pay attention to. Jason Crow, House Manager Jason Crow, congressman from Colorado, pointed this out in the middle of his presentation because he saw how so many had just all of a sudden gotten up and left, and he asked whether there was now a time that people needed to take a break. And that would have been a great opportunity for the Chief Justice to highlight that this is not allowed. People can't just walk out for long periods of time. So I am very troubled by the fact that, you know, we go from this admonishment the Chief Justice wants to issue in the middle of the night and total silence in watching potentially, you know, nearly half of the caucus on the Republican side not in the chamber during this presentation.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, of course, they are supposed to be in the chamber the entire time, and they're not allowed to talk. They're not allowed to be on their phones. I mean, when we talk about people getting away from the chamber for a little while during the actual trial, I can think of some Democrats that would love to get away for a moment, especially those that are running for president that aren't able to campaign in Iowa.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, again, there's just no excuse for any senator not to be in the chamber beyond some short necessary break they have to take. But it is absolutely outrageous that we see based on news reports, and we can't see, of course, from the cameras because, you know, Mitch McConnell has decided and his GOP Senate colleagues have decided through this resolution that the way, you know, the cameras are going to be pointed are only going to show what's being presented, not have any ability for C-SPAN or other cameras to show the senators. So we only know from people who are there reporting all these empty seats. But I think, again, this is why we have to be very cautious as we move forward in this trial as to what is happening. Because if, in fact, we get to a point where we have these votes on whether there shall be witnesses and documents, whether this will be a real trial beyond the votes that we had yesterday, and we find that the Senate majority is in lockstep with the president to prevent any real trial, then they will be complicit. They will be complicit in the shredding of our Constitution and the attack on our democracy, and all of us as Americans have to be deeply concerned about that.
John Boniface, I want to ask you to stay with us. We're starting to get some reaction from senators who have just left the Senate chamber for the break and have addressed the media. And I want to hear what a few of these Republicans are saying and then also get your response to what we're hearing. And I have no idea what they're going to say. We just got this hot right now. This is Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas talking to reporters just outside the Senate chamber.
I suspect the Democrats threw a fit yesterday, insisted they needed at least 3 full days to present the arguments. I think we're going to see an awful lot of repetition, making the same points over and over again. There were 2 things in particular today that I thought were highly notable. Number 1, several of the Democratic managers made the case that Ukraine, denying Ukraine military aid, endangered lives, was a tremendous blow to American national security and was wrong. Even a moment of delaying military aid to Ukraine risked lives. You know, there's an old saying that hypocrisy is the tribute vice pays to virtue. And this is a really powerful example because if there is such a compelling national security interest to give military aid to Ukraine, then what do these House Democrats have to say about the years that Barack Obama refused to give lethal military aid to Ukraine? And in fact, I traveled to Ukraine in 2014, came back and urged Barack Obama to give lethal military aid to Ukraine. The Obama administration refused to do so. Instead, they sent blankets and MREs, but they wouldn't give lethal aid. On the other hand, the Trump administration has given Javelin missiles, has sold Javelin missiles that can take out Russian tanks. And so if the House manager's argument is correct, I guess the consequence is, under their argument, maybe they should have impeached Obama if not giving military aid to Ukraine was a deep threat to U.S. national security.
All right, that is Ted Cruz, Democratic Republican senator, speaking to reporters outside the Senate chamber as the Senate right now is in break from the trial for dinner. John Bonifaz, do you want to respond to what Ted Cruz just said? Anything there stand out for you?
Well, it's a completely incoherent argument. I mean, the fact is that what's being presented by the House managers here with respect to the military aid due to Ukraine is that Congress had voted in an overwhelmingly bipartisan manner to provide that aid, nearly $400 million in aid, to the Ukrainian government, and that the president had illegally withheld that aid for his own personal advantage. He engaged in abusing his power of the office to withhold that aid to try to get the announcement of this investigation of a political rival. There's no such evidence whatsoever that anything like that took place during the Obama administration. He wants to have a policy argument and debate as to whether the Obama administration should have also provided this aid, but that is completely irrelevant to the question at hand, which is the abuse of power that this president committed once that aid had been approved by Congress. And this is a classic example of how those who are defenders of this lawless president try to change the subject. They don't want to talk about the abuse of power. They don't want to talk about the obstruction of Congress. They don't want to talk about the evidence underlying these articles of impeachment. They simply want to change the subject, try to call this whole thing a hoax, essentially get up there and lie to the American people that the Republicans weren't involved in the depositions or somehow that this was all made up. I mean, you know, I think we are at this moment where many on the Republican side who are defending this president are living in an alternate universe when they present these kinds of arguments.
Let's get your reaction to one more Republican, and then we'll let you go. But I do want to hear from Rick Scott, who is a Republican from Florida. And, of course, Florida is considered a purple state or a swing state. So I think he would be significant to hear from. This is Republican Senator Rick Scott.
But this is like Groundhog Day. Day one is, I mean, we did it for 13 hours last night. We did it for 13 hours last night, so it's Groundhog Day again today. They're just rehashing the same thing. And we have to remember what the stakes are. The stakes are the House Democrats hate Trump. They want to change the election in 2016, kick a guy out of office that was duly elected, and they want to kick him off the ballot in 2020. That's what we're talking about. And think of what they said today. They said that it's okay for Joe Biden to go to Ukraine and threaten to withhold money to get a prosecutor that he has no right to get rid of out of office. But a president who has a right to pick the ambassadors they want to pick does not have the right to change out an ambassador. So this is all they're doing is going through process. Because they don't have anything to do to attach anything to Donald Trump. They just hate the guy.
All right. So that is Rick Scott, Republican senator from Florida. John Bonifaz, not certainly a picture of perfect impartiality as a juror in the trial. I guess his comment about Groundhog's Day, though, kind of makes sense. I mean, it does feel like we're hearing everything that we've heard through the House impeachment inquiry.
Well, I mean, for those who are following the House impeachment inquiry, that's correct. But I think we have to accept that many millions of Americans are tuning in just now to this, and we have no idea whether some of these senators really paid attention to the House impeachment inquiry. So this is why they need to be sitting there and they need to be listening to this evidence. But, you know, there are a couple points that
I mean, it's the process, right? I mean, it's the process. This is how the Constitution is working its way out. It's deliberate. It could be long. Sometimes it might be quite boring, but this is how it works. This is the Constitution.
This is how it works.
Working itself out.
And the other thing is how it works, to address Senator Scott's point about somehow trying to overturn an election. The impeachment power is in the Constitution to address those in office who are direct threats to our republic, for which you cannot wait for an election to resolve that threat. I mean, this is not about whether or not, you know, there should be a policy vote on one or more candidates in 2020. This is not about any of that. This is about whether Donald Trump, as the occupant of the Oval Office, represents a threat to our republic, and if he does, the impeachment power in the Constitution allows for him to be removed, to remove that threat. So if the threat is that you have a president who so defies the Constitution and will rig the next election, then that is a threat for which that president should be removed. He says he wants to be taken off the ballot. The reason why he needs to be disqualified from ever holding a future office, which is part of what is in the article of impeachment, is precisely because he presents that threat to the republic and to the Constitution. And then finally, you know, Senator Scott claims that nothing that's been presented is tied to Donald Trump. This is an example of either him not listening or not even being in the room to hear the evidence. All has been laid out of all this being tied to Donald Trump. Donald Trump directed this major scheme to defy the Constitution, defy the basic laws of this country. And everyone who's listening in a reasonable way can understand that it's all tied to his direction. So I don't know what he's talking about when he claims none of this is being tied to the president.
Finally, other than just removing President Trump from office with a conviction, is there anything else that can happen in this impeachment trial that you would consider a success that's even short of actual conviction?
Well, I want to be clear that what's a success already is that Donald Trump has been impeached, the third president in the country, in our history, to be impeached. He will go down in history for that. That's an accountability moment, and that happened because of the voices of millions of people around this country demanding that the House hold him accountable. So that's number one. Number two is I do think this trial will expose to the American people which side senators are on, and that will be for history to record. And for those who decide to defend this lawless president to prevent any real trial, they will go down in history for doing that, and that will be an accountability moment for them as well. Certainly, you know, at election time, voters will remember these matters, but we're already seeing the accountability happen with respect to the impeachment of this president.
John Boniface is a constitutional attorney, co-founder and president of Free Speech for People. He is the co-author with Ron Fine and Ben Clements of the book, The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump. John Boniface, I thank you greatly for taking time to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you.